This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in Daily Ticker time. Game one, Western Conference Finals. Portland against Golden State, 6 o'clock tonight. Joining us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline, on air and digital contributor for our sister station down in the Bay, 95.7 The Game, John Dickinson joins us now to give us his insights from Golden State's perspective. John, thanks so much for joining us up here, man. We're really excited for this matchup between Portland and Golden State. The Warriors are 24-1 without Kevin Durant. Oof. And John, we have two schools of thought up here in Portland. Either they are very vulnerable without KD, or they are scary as hell without Kevin Durant. If you had to bet your mortgage on it, which way would you lean? Golden State better without Durant, or Golden State better with Durant?
Better with Durant for sure, but absolutely more vulnerable without Durant than they would be if he was playing in this series. I mean, Durant has been the ultimate almost fail-safe player for the Warriors. They kind of do what they like to do, ball movement offense, you know, shoot the three ball, get to the basket. They're great in the mid-range. But when all else fails, and teams have been able to at times slow down Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, it's get the ball to Durant and get out of his way and let him just take the game over or take a couple of games in a series over, as was the case against the Clippers in the first round when things got tight. He is just the one player that nobody in the league, aside from maybe Toronto with Kawhi Leonard or Milwaukee with Giannis Antetokounmpo, nobody has an answer for him defensively. And I think, you know, he's just been used almost as a fail-safe. Do what you like to do, do what you do well, but if all else fails, you can get it to Durant, and Durant can be sort of a savior of sorts.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm really curious to see what the rotations look like for Golden State tonight, because watching them early in the postseason, was it the Hamptons 5, I think they call it, and they were going kind of that smaller lineup with Draymond starting at the 5, Iguodala, Kevin Durant, Thompson and Curry. But now without Kevin Durant, we've seen Bogut in there a little bit more. We've seen Looney get a few more minutes. How do you expect the rotation to play? Do they go with the traditional center, or do they eventually end up playing some small ball tonight?
Yeah, I think they're going to wind up playing small ball, and they're going to try and get Kanter off the floor. But I think they're going to start with Andrew Bogut. That would be the best guess. Iguodala in there as well for Durant in his slot. So they go with Curry and Thompson, Iguodala, Draymond Green, and Andrew Bogut. But when all else fails, and that's really another downside to not having Durant. I mean, that Hamptons 5 unit is as good as any unit ever assembled in NBA history, and that's also kind of their emergency go-to finishing lineup. It's the lineup that they use to try and get a big men off the floor, basically just make them, you know, useless because they can't guard defensively, and the Warriors can just, you know, get open shot after open shot, whether it's at the rim or in three-point range. But I do think because Steve Kerr wants to spread minutes around, he is going to go with a traditional big to match up with the more traditional big that the Blazers will have with Kanter in that starting lineup. So I do think you'll see Bogut, but when push comes to shove, you know, he's going to have a choice as to who he wants to have in the lineup now with Durant out as far as that closing unit goes. It can be Sean Livingston at times, and that's probably the most likely candidate as far as, you know, it could be Kevon Looney as well, who could be someone that can be in the game there at the center position with Draymond Green as well. So it's a little bit of a different look when you don't have Durant with that lineup, which is another area where I think Portland has a small window to maybe exploit without the Warriors being at full strength.
John Dickinson, our guest, 95.7 The Game on air, digital contributor as well, is our guest here for the Ticker. We were just nerding out a little bit in the previous segment before you joined us, John, just all the numbers in this matchup between these two teams and what they've done. The bench is only given 19% of the Warriors' points. That's the lowest of any team, so they don't have much of a bench. KD out for the first few games, maybe the whole series. We don't know yet. What do they do defensively against Dame, CJ, and the offense for Portland? Like, who do you think matches up against who, and who do they maybe hide Steph on?
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is a lot of Klay Thompson on Lillard. You're going to see a lot of Klay Thompson on McCollum, and you're also going to see, I think, Iguodala matching up, in particular, maybe with McCollum as well. So I think that's going to leave Stephen Curry, he's going to have to hold his own, too, on one of those two players, I think, from time to time. I don't think it's going to be straight up Iguodala, on one and Klay Thompson on the other, and I do think Klay will move around as well. I think a lot of that's going to depend on what Portland does as far as their starting lineup. But is Portland going to start and play Aminu at Harkless, or has Aminu played his way out of right. things? Are they going to change it up like they did in Game 7? I mean, I think that's kind of a fascinating aspect of it as well, because I know the Warriors in the past have been comfortable letting Al-Farouq Aminu, shoot from the outside and try and play make, which is obviously not his skill set, but he's also had some games where he's knocked down some three-pointers against the Warriors and kind of been the difference in some games that the Blazers have won. So I think to answer the question, though, simply, it's going to be a lot of Klay Thompson on both guys, and it's going to be a lot of Iguodala in key situations on the other one.
Yeah, those chess matches are going to be fun just to see how each team changes the rotations up as the series goes on. I am curious to ask you, Portland hasn't been in this position in 19 years. It's been a long time for us since we've had an opportunity to play in a Western Conference Finals. And Golden State speaks for itself, the run that you guys have been on down there for the last number of years, the 3 championships in 4 years. What is the perception, just in the conversations you guys are having going into this series, and I guess maybe the reaction you're getting from Warriors fans, about Portland? Like, the level of threat, is it just kind of like, nice little team, but we're going to steamroll our way? Is there an actual level of concern? Like, how do people down there feel about a series against Portland?
Well, I think you have to almost go back to the last series against the Rockets, because there was some legitimate fear that the Rockets could beat the Warriors, even if the Warriors were at full strength. And I think the Warriors and the Warriors fan base for sure saw the whole dynasty flash before their eyes in Game 5 of the semifinal series, when Durant goes out of the game, and it's looking like maybe that's a season-ending injury, and an injury that may cost him, even next season if it wound up being an Achilles. And then here were the Warriors 2-2 in that series with a quarter to go in a tie game, and all of a sudden the vibe in that building was, this could be the last 12 minutes in the history of Oracle Arena, and the Warriors may not have another home game and might be out by Mother's Day. I mean, it was amazing to feel just the change in energy between, the expectation and the belief that, well, no, this team's going to play till the middle of June no matter what. And in a blink, it was almost as if everybody saw the end, and they fought like heck to win that game, went to Houston and obviously won the next game. Look, the Warriors have the ultimate respect for Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and Terry Stotts as the head coach of this team. I mean, they met in the playoffs a couple of times prior. I know it's a little bit of a different Portland team, but Lillard and McCollum these last couple of years, the Warriors have a lot of respect for him. The Warriors fan base has a ton of respect for Damian Lillard, obviously being from Oakland. And that's one of the special storylines of this one is, we all thought Damian Lillard played his last game in Oakland in December when he hit the game winner there right after Christmas. And that's not the case. He gets to play one more playoff series in that building, which I know is special for him growing up just a short, walk away from Oracle Arena and that Coliseum complex there. So that's a great storyline. But no, I think there is an appropriate fear is the term Steve Kerr likes to use with regularity as far as the Warriors and their opponents. And I think they do have a lot of respect for what the Blazers have done, especially keeping that core group together, not breaking it up and continuing to try and push through to reach a level that they haven't quite yet been able to get to. So especially without Durant for the first probably half of this series, I would say. I mean, I think game one and two almost certainly he won't play. Game 3, I think, is a little iffy. I think 4 and 5 are probably the most likely scenarios where Durant comes back into this thing. But I think some of that's on the Blazers too. If they can, you know, make it a 2-1 series where maybe they get ahead,
right,
or it's 2-2, then I think you force the Warriors' hand maybe to more into putting Durant back in maybe before he's fully healthy.
Yeah, John Dickinson, 95.7, the game down in the Bay Area. Game one tonight, 6 o'clock at Oracle Arena. Get you out of here on this one. We need a prediction, man. Are you going to go Bay Area honk here in Portland? I think this is going to be a long series. What do you think, John?
I've come to the realization at the end of the Houston series and then watching the way the Blazers came back against Denver and winning the game six and game seven in Denver, I'm of the belief now that, yes, the Warriors are still going to win the championship, but I think they are going to win each series in six games. So I think this is going to be a long series. I think it's 2-2 after four, and I think the Warriors wind up winning game five and winning game six on the road, as they've done in the first two rounds of the playoffs. So, no, I think it'll be a good one. I really enjoy watching the Blazers play. Probably the team that I watch the most, honestly. We've talked a lot about it up here. The West Coast League Pass team that you love watching. For me, at least, the Blazers are that squad. I was able to come up and cover both games in Portland back in December and in February, right before the All-Star break, as part of my duties for the station and covering the team. And it's a great atmosphere, and it should be a lot of fun. But yeah, Warriors in six is the official prediction for me.
I think I needed more animosity and hate from
come
you, John.
On, John.
You're just such
a... I want to hate you.
You're too nice.
Right?
You're too nice.
Say something mean about Portland.
The Houston folks got all of the venom.
Yeah,
the last couple of weeks.
I said this yesterday. Like, Houston had a unique ability. Like, Golden State's easy to hate because they just win and you can't beat them and Draymond can yap. I hated Houston more than I hated Golden State, and that takes a special skill, that's for sure.
I'll bet.
John Dickinson, 95.7 the game. I'm sure it's not going to be the last time we reach out to try to get you on. Great insight, great stuff, my man, and enjoying game one tonight.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.